Okay. All right. So, Teresa, step nine, amends process. You have the.
Okay.
Thank you.
And if I can someone give me like a 10-minute warning and then let me know when I'm getting close to 20? Okay. Very good. Thank you so much. Hey, everybody. It's so good to see you today. My name is Teresa. I'm a chaos creator, a codependent, Al-Anon drug addict, and with a history of compulsive food behaviors, which means anorexia, bulimia, overeating, and plus several other addictions. And I want to thank Jeff for asking me to speak today. It's really an honor and a privilege to be able to share my experience, strength, and hope with you today. And since I don't share my story very often, I had taken notes, so you will see me reading from my notes part of the time. And there is a real reason why I chose this topic of step nine, and it's because of the promises. And I also wanted to say that I see that Freya and Jessica are here. And thank you so much. They are the ones that helped me come out of that darkness that I came into. I'm going to give a brief history of myself. I think it's important to know where I've come from and where I ended up after going through BBA. So I've been sober since January 4th, 2010, but it took me a long, long time before I walked into the doors of AA. And you might be confused because, you know, I say I'm a drug addict, but I use plenty of alcohol during my days. But I had been in recovery since around 1992, which started after I read the book Codependent No More by Melody Beattie. And but since I was drinking and using drugs all the time, it didn't sink in very well. But I had always known there was something really terribly wrong with me. I grew up in an extremely dysfunctional family, suffered trauma and PTSD, and have been trying to fix myself since I was a little girl. My parents divorced when I was two, and my mother married stepfathers who were either abusive or alcoholic. There was a really deep sickness in my family. The marriages and divorces were the norm. I think I counted 12 divorces between my mom and her siblings, and I thought there was something really wrong with that. And I couldn't cope very well, and so I started becoming depressed at a very early age. And I didn't know why. But at age 15, I found a solution, which was drugs and alcohol, so that I could finally have that sense of ease and comfort that comes from numbing myself out to calm the crazies inside of me. So I wasn't living life very successfully. I barely graduated high school, somehow made it through college without much direction. And then after graduation, I wandered aimlessly from job to job while continuing to drink and use. And meanwhile, my mental health declined and I was diagnosed as mentally ill with suicide attempts, multitudes of hospitalizations, and I felt ashamed and hopeless. Somehow, without a recovery program, I would pull myself out of the hole and start the deadly cycle over and over again. That was the insanity of my life. Plus, on top of being an addict, I was, truly a sick codependent, wanting approval and validation from everyone around me so I would feel loved and not be abandoned again. And it turns out both my parents were alcoholics. My mother blamed the world for all her problems and drank to escape. My dad, a so-called functional alcoholic and a very successful businessman, raged and controlled at everyone around him. And I always say that I knew that he was an alcoholic after I got into AA because he had to control his drinking, as it is it's talked about in that one chapter, more about alcoholism, I believe. So I got married to the only man who paid attention to me, had two children, was an inept parent, and self-destructed my marriage. During a move to Utah, I started really abusing drugs, became suicidal, and spent 9 months in and out of institutions, which are mental hospitals, rehabs, a halfway house. I even ran away from one mental hospital in Houston, if you can believe that. And all I wanted to do was to die. So I was really in a bad way. My husband served me papers, and I lost everything, my marriage, my home, and custody of my children. I had reached the last house on the block, and it was either to move to Colorado or to get, or to get institutionalized in a state mental hospital because there was help in Colorado for me. And so once I moved to Colorado and started working with this mental health organization, my life began to turn around. But it took me 6 years before I actually became sober. And in the meantime, I was still creating chaos in the lives of those around me. I was the tornado in people's lives, creating havoc wherever I went. And so on page 82, the tornado reading, the chaos creator is like a tornado roaring through the lives of others. Hearts are broken, sweet relationships are dead, affections have been uprooted. Selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. I feel that I'm in thinking when I say sobriety is enough. Well, getting sober is only half the battle. I had worked the steps in AA and later in Al-Anon, but that didn't help me with the chaos I created all around me. My Al-Anon sponsor would get upset because I would keep on doing the same things over and over again in different ways, which we all know is the definition of insanity. And it was affecting my health and my relationships with everyone around me. And so, I had these immune disorders. I developed osteoporosis at an early age, adrenal depletion, and, it goes on and on. So God led me to BBA in late 2020 after I heard Billie Kay speak, and I knew I wanted what she had and that I needed a new way of approaching recovery. And by divine timing, and thank you to Freya and to Jessica, I joined a Chaos Creator workshop, which has helped me find true freedom in my life. So I'm here today to share my journey of working the steps in the Big Book Awakening Way and some of the miracles that have occurred in my life as a result of working steps 4 through 9. But first of all, I had to set aside all my old ideas and work honestly and thoroughly through my resentments. And those, the resentments that I'm going to talk about today, mainly about my son, but also with my dad and with my grandmother. And so my son had cut off communication with me in 2018 without any reason, or so I thought. With my late father, with whom I'd always had a difficult relationship with, and this resentment was 40 years in the making. And so he died in 1996. My late grandmother, who had told my mother she couldn't live, she told my mother that she couldn't live with her anymore when my mom was dying of cancer. So that resentment was 25 years old. And my grandmother died in 2003. And so my resentments towards these people were the things that absolutely tore me apart. When the big book says that resentments kill, I can truly believe it. It killed my spirit, and I felt so much shame. But what was my choice? So on page 76, I did those things. I worked thoroughly through all my resentments, all the different types of resentments, and as well as the 6 and 7, and then writing my list. So on page 76, I subjected myself to a drastic self-appraisal. Now I would go out to my fellows and repair the damage done in the past. I attempted to sweep away the debris which I had accumulated in my effort to live on self-will and run the show myself. I mean, my whole life had been full of self-will and trying to fix myself and trying to make it better between me and all the people around me. But I was completely powerless to do any of that myself. My life was just such a mess. It was such a mess. I mean, granted, there were some good things that happened in my life, and I was a creative person and an artist, and I had been a musician, and I did bring joy when I wasn't in my insanity. So anyhow, I completed the very deep work in steps 4 and asked God to remove what was objectionable and became willing for God to remove my defects of character. I spent a lot of time reflecting on what I might say to my son. Then, after much prayer, I reached out to my son by text and asked if I could make an amends to him for the harms I had done. He said yes, but it could only be done by email and be sent on a certain day and time. I had worked diligently with my sponsor and BBA step guide on the wording and sent it off, not knowing what to expect. I'm going to read that. Dear son, I wanted to let you know that I love and care about you very much, and I truly appreciate your willingness to listen to my amends. I've been doing some very deep work recently where I've been learning a lot about myself. While doing this work, it became clear that I needed to make amends to you for the harm I'd caused. And amends means that I change my behavior, not just what I say, not just say I'm sorry. I've been reflecting on a phone conversation that we had several years ago when you had been really struggling and I didn't show up for you in a helpful way. And these are the harms I'm clear about. I didn't listen to you and I tried to diagnose you. I projected my mental illness on you. I didn't respect your ability to handle this and other situations on your own. At other times, I've given unsolicited advice, have been controlling and manipulative, and have sown mistrust. I sincerely regret the ungraceful way I parented you, for the time I was sick with mental illness and addiction, and how deeply my behavior may have affected you. Is there any other harm I'm not aware of that you need to tell me about? Do you need to tell me how any of this hurt you personally? Is there anything I can do to make this right? I would like to ask for your forgiveness. Love you, Mom.
Teresa, that's 10 minutes now.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. It took months to hear back from him, but he finally told me the truth of why he cut off communication with me. He felt that I had abandoned him when I was so sick and lost custody. I shared with my son that I hadn't wanted to hurt him, but I had no choice but to get the help wherever I could, and that help was in Colorado. Not long afterward, he had a change of heart and decided he wanted to set up a monthly phone call with me. It says on page 78, in 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. That is so true. That is so true. It was so unexpected. I thought for sure that I would never, ever hear from him again, that he would just write me off. And, you know, there's a special bond between mothers and sons. You know, I truly regretted all the harm that I had caused him. And I never knew that I thought we had worked through all the pain and the suffering of me having to leave him. You know, I have a relationship with my daughter, but, I didn't know that my son had been hurt so bad. And so, you know, this is part of the gift of the amends process that I actually, you know, I get to talk to him. Now, we don't talk that often. I've talked to him 3 times since I made the amends. And I'm forever grateful for that. You know, it's on his terms and I don't get to ask him for anything. And it's taking time to rebuild that trust. You know, he's 30, gosh, he's 30 years old. And, you know, this is a miracle. This is such a miracle to me that we get to talk. I haven't heard from him for several months now, but you know, and I'm not expecting it. I mean, if it happens, it's God's grace to me. And so for that, I am forever grateful. I'm so grateful to hear his voice. And I always ask him what's going on in his life. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the amends to my grandmother and the amends I had to make to my father. And, you know, after I had gone through the resentment process, it took me months and months and months and months before I could actually get to the place where I made an amends that really I wasn't lashing out in anger. And it talks about it in the big book on pages 76 and 77. You know, first it says, if I haven't the will to do this, I ask until it comes. So I had to wait until God gave me that direction. I had the willingness, but, you know, it took so long. It must have taken 4 or 5 months, but I knew I had to walk through this. You know, and the things that I was so angry about, you know, happened years and years ago. And you, as we all know, resentment is that festering wound that just, it's like a poison. It poisoned my heart. And I knew I had to get through that. I had to wait for God to give me the right words. And so I was able finally to write a letter to each of them. And I don't know if there's really time to read the letters to you, but what I will tell you is that when I was young and in that mentally ill stage, my dad and my stepmom tried to help me. And excuse my phone, it keeps on beeping at me. I'm going to turn it off. He tried to help me, and I ended up taking an overdose at his house back east and ended up in a mental hospital. And he sent me back to my mom, to take care of me. And my mom had no tools. Nobody had any tools to help me. I mean, I was just really a mess. I was such a mess. And but I felt like he had discarded me like old Kleenex. And I couldn't get over that. I could not see it from his point of view. And I finally got to that place where I could get to see where his point of view was. And here they talk about going to the gravesite. And I wasn't going to be able to. It was during COVID. There's no flying to Connecticut. And the same thing with my grandmother. I had been so angry with her that she told my mom that she couldn't come back to live with her when my mom's dying. And, I had to move my mom out when my mom is dying for my grandmother. And, how long? That was 25 years. 25 years I've been hanging on to that. And I finally got to that place where I could just say, oh my gosh, now I really see what's going on. I really, really see what's going on. And I'm actually going to read this this thing about my amends to my grandmother. I remember how hard things were when mom was living with you, especially after she was diagnosed with lung cancer. It was probably a very frightening and confusing time, especially as it became more evident that my mother and your daughter would die from this disease. I'm asking for your forgiveness, Nanny, for my behavior back then, for yelling at you, talking behind your back, and for not being able to see your point of view. I understand that you were doing the best you could in horrible circumstances. Your decision allowed me to move mom into a nearby apartment so that you could visit each other if you wanted to, and created a space so mom could go into hospice. That's not what happened. My cat now wants to sit on my lap. Oh, how funny. I'm praying to God to help us find peace, love, and understanding between us. I love you very much. Thank you for letting mom live with you for all those years when her alcoholism was so bad. And here I ask God, dear God, please show me if there's anything else that is standing in the way so that I might see the truth around this situation. I'm not going to have time to read the amends to my dad, but I just want to tell you that this has given me so much peace in my life, making the amends to these three people, my son, my grandmother, and my father. And I know that God has delivered my message of forgiveness and asking for amends to the people in heaven. I know in my heart that I feel that I was responsible for the damage I caused in their lives. And I've even made restitution to my dad financially for the money that he spent on me. He was going to send me to secretarial school, and I was in no position to do that at the time. But I was able to make a restitution to a mental health organization in Colorado, the very one that saved my life, the one that kept me from killing myself. So, they helped me when I was at that dark night of the soul. So I no longer hate my grandmother. I no longer hate my dad. And I have the beginnings of a wonderful relationship with my son again. I have no idea what's going to happen, but the outcome is in God's hands. It's not in my hands anymore because I am not in control of any of these things. Thank God. But as long as I continue to do this work, be open and honest and willing, that great things will come to pass beyond my wildest dreams. And so on page 75, it says, I can feel the nearness of my creator. I can look the world in the eye and I can be alone in perfect peace and ease. And of course, reading the promises, oh my gosh, that's what's happened in my life because of the result of doing this work. It was not going to happen until I found VBA, and I am so grateful for this program and for the miracles that it's brought into my life. So I don't know where we stand on time. How are we doing on time? I can't hear you.
About 19 minutes.
Okay, good. I'm going to go ahead and read the promises. Let me pull them out here, and then I'll close. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you very much, Teresa. Thank you for that moving share. We will now open the meeting for sharing and for questions to anyone from anyone. Please limit your share to under 4 minutes. The topic for tonight is Step 9, the amends process. If you've not done the work related to this topic, as done through the Big Book Awakening, we ask you to limit your sharing to questions only. This is a crossfire meeting. You can ask anyone a question or comment on anyone's share. If you are a newcomer to this meeting and to the Big Book Awakening, we will reserve some time at the end of the meeting for you to introduce yourself and share if you wish, so that we can get to know you a little. Who would like to start out?
Andy, I think the recording's still on.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, it is. Thank you.